Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello, and welcome to Joyful Eating, episode number 134. So today we're going to be talking about why I'll never, with a star next to it, disclaimer, be vegan. And yeah, so you get to find out what my star is about. But before we get to that, the best bite I had recently, so I've actually been really lucky. August has been a very good food month, and I've got to eat not once, but twice, but three times at my favorite Japanese restaurant. It's called Roku. Anyway, they do these amazing slow-cooked ribs that come in this like really rich sauce, lamb ribs they are, and they're just like the meat is melting up the bone. They're so delicious. The other dish that I've had that's been amazing from there is they do this like amazing deep-fried tofu. So it's like a tofu tempura. So it's got that crispy skin that like it comes with the avocado sauce and some herbs and stuff. So it's just really fragrant, really got that contrast between the hot tofu and the cold sauce. And yeah, that's really good as well. Plan for today is, first I'm going to share this story behind this episode. Like, why am I talking about veganism? And then I'll share with you what this asterisk is about. So like why I have a never say never policy. And then I'm going to share with you like the reasons why I will never be vegan again. And then I'm going to share with you like what to do instead, like how to be an ethical omnivore. Some like practical tips to dive in there. And first, well, I should mention that spring has sprung here in Australia and we have these beautiful wattle trees. So my property is like has heaps of wattle and everywhere I look is yellow. So celebrating that I have some wattle here with us today. So for those of you listening to the podcast, you can't see, but on YouTube, you'll be able to see my beautiful wattle or on the website. So the story behind this episode is just, I see it more and more in the media, like, and like social media, like just to talk about like how plant-based whole food diets, like we should be eating more plants to save the planet, all this narrative. And yeah, of course, for some people, like eating plant-based, you know, can be an amazing thing. But for me personally, it's not. And I think it's also, I think it's important to have this balanced view is that it isn't that simple. Like nutrition isn't that we just eat more plants and that meat is bad and that makes us all like amazingly healthy, because there's way more nuance to it. There's also the quantity piece as well, which I'm always banging on about. Like you could be eating like great, eat all the vegetables. Like, however, like you're eating too much food. Too much food is too much food. So like, I think why I wanted to do an episode about this specifically is because I think it's important that in the, that we're getting this narrative as well, is that there is another side to this and that there is a way and actually for us to be omnivores. And actually for most of us, that is the best choice. And so certainly it is for me. It's up to you, of course, to trust your own wisdom to decide what's worth for you. But I just thought it'd be helpful to hear like from someone who is an omnivore, why I have made that choice and why I made that intentional choice and what that looks like in my life, like how it plays out. So of course the title I wanted to say was why I'll never be vegan, because like, you know, that's way more dramatic. but then that was like the word never always freaks me out a little bit, because I have this policy of never saying never. And you know, in my 51 years on the planet, if there's one thing I've learned is that like oftentimes something that we believe and fervently, like strongly are all on board with at one point in our lives, that can change. And, new information becomes available. We have new experiences. And so sometimes things that we thought we would never do, we start doing, or things that we thought we would never stop, we stop. So just because of that, knowing my life has been, that's like, oh, I think at this point in time, I can't see myself ever being vegan, but you never know. I'm open to it if that does come up. So yes, that's my never say never policy. That being said, like why at the moment do I feel like I would never be vegan? So definitely it's not the taste, right? And it's interesting, back in my early days of blogging, I had a month of being vegetarian and I blogged about it, shared what I was eating. And then I also followed that up a couple of years later with where I had vegan week, where I ate completely vegan for a week. On both of those occasions, my experience was that after eating vegetarian for a month, I felt horrible. I didn't used to weigh myself back then, but I'm pretty sure I gained weight and just my energy levels were really low. I was really sluggish, just didn't feel good. And I was so happy to go back to being an omnivore at the end of that month experiment. And then when I did the week-long vegan experiment, again, it was the same thing. I wasn't feeling great, but a week isn't such a big chunk of time. So I didn't see as dramatic a difference, but it's still... I didn't feel good. And I wasn't I'm feeling amazing, I want to continue this. I was no, get me back to having some animal products in my life. And at the time when I wrote both of those things, one of my reasons was taste, that I was missing the flavor of bacon, I think I even spoke about specifically. And the thing is that now where I'm at in terms of my ability to season and my confidence as a cook, and also my love of vegetables, that's evolved over time, and my love of legumes, definitely the taste isn't a part of it. I love vegetables. That tofu dish that I mentioned at the beginning, I enjoy that just as much as the lamb ribs. And I would be happy, the taste doesn't come. And these days I don't eat a lot of bacon anyway because of the nitrites in it. It's a known carcinogen. So for me, bacon's something I only have very occasionally. I cook it for the boys. I cooked some on the weekend for the boys, but I had tiny taste and that was it. So it's not a taste thing. Because I know that I can make vegetables taste amazing. But what it is really comes down to is that energy levels. So it's how I feel when I had that vegetarian month. Definitely, I don't feel as good. I don't feel like my nutritional needs are being met. And I trust my body to be guiding me on that. So that's the number one reason. And also another reason is I just don't really want to be vegan. I love food. I love variety. And I don't want to be one of those people that are rocking up, can only go to vegan restaurants or, has all these restrictions around what I'm eating. I just don't want to be that person. I want to be someone who can travel and it doesn't matter where I am, I'll be able to eat whatever. That's a huge part of it. And also I think just from the work that I've done in coaching people and observing on myself, the less restriction you have in your diet, the easier it is to meet your nutritional needs because you're expanding the variety of food that you are eating. And most nutritionists will bang on about eating the rainbow and eating a variety of foods. There's more baskets with eggs in them for you to be having rather than if you're only eating a certain type of food and you're cutting out all these other things, it just makes it more difficult, more challenging. Is it impossible? No, but it does make it more difficult. The other reason why I'm really confirmed of being an omnivore is just the more I learn about our protein requirements, particularly as we age, and the importance of getting enough protein to maintain a muscle mass and to prevent frailty when we're aging. Given that I've got my goal to live to being 122, that's a huge part of it for me. So I think, yes, can you get your protein requirements as a vegan? Yes, it's possible. Does it make it so much harder? Absolutely. So not interested from that perspective. And also given that I know about myself is my diabetes and my insulin sensitivity is that just when you cut out your animal protein, just by doing that to get your protein, you're going to have to eat a lot more carbohydrate because you're eating legumes and those types of things that come with more carbohydrates. So for me, with my insulin sensitivity, that's not a great choice. Also, another reason why I will never be vegan, never, I say, in 20 years' time, someone's pointing to this video saying, hey, Jules, you said you'd never be vegan. No, may happen, probably not. But one of the things I believe is that we evolved as a species to be omnivores. And so in evolution, things generally serve a purpose. So if we evolved with this diet where we aren't carnivore, where we do eat plants and we do eat animal products, there's some evolutionary advantage to that. So another sign that, maybe this is the best approach, and definitely for me. And then the other thing is I really love supporting regenerative agriculture, and not that I'm anywhere near an expert at this, but when I speak to people who know about this sort of stuff, including animals in that food chain, in that system, is an important part of regenerative agriculture. And it's a very different approach to producing food than if we're looking at monoculture and like having fields and fields of soybeans. So I'd much rather be going to my local farmer's market and buying meat from my farmer who's raised it humanely and where it's actually enhancing the agricultural system, rather than going to the supermarket and buying some Beyond Burger stuff that's got, you know, who knows what additives in it. So there's a whole host of reasons why, like, pretty confident that never is going to be the case for me in veganism. That being said, like, of course, up to you to make your choices. But if you do want to be an omnivore, I think the ethics piece of being a meat eater is huge. And that, yes, I'm not denying that there are industrial processed meat is not where we want to be at. And places where animals are not treated humanely or with respect and dignity, I don't want to be a part of that either. So it's not meat at all costs. But I think there is this third path where we look at the ethics of eating meat and we look at ways to make sure that our meat is produced in a humane way, that it's that the killing process is as humane as possible as well. And yes, are other living beings dying so that I continue to live? Yes, but also when you think about it, all food is living things. And so even if you're eating soybeans, those soybeans were actually picked and they're still alive. They're still respiring when they're picked. And if you're eating raw food, that broccoli is actually still alive technically when you eat it. So yeah, that's just something to consider, of course. But for me, it's worth that to be this ethical omnivore. And how do we go about doing that? So the first thing is, wherever possible, supporting your local farmers, supporting small businesses. And so that's why I pretty much all my meat I buy from the farmers market. So I've got my chicken guy, Brad. He has a chicken. He just started doing duck, which is very exciting. So I've had a few ducks from him. And then I've got my other farmer, Sid. He has the most amazing beef, cows, pigs, and sheep. I do buy some meat from either the butcher or the supermarket, and that's sausages for the boys. But again, I'm looking for most ethically produced sausages that I can get. Another way to be an ethical omnivore is to keep chickens. Seriously, having eggs is so so amazing, and just they're so great for using up scraps and those sorts of things. Of course, it's not available to everyone, but they don't take up a lot of space. So urban chickens are a thing. And then the other thing I think that a huge part of the piece of being an ethical omnivore is the quantity piece, how much you are eating. Learning this skill of listening to your body, stopping when you're satisfied, not overeating. Yeah, you think about it, you can, if you're eating the right amount of food for you, then that has a huge impact. You could eat twice as much food and that's extra food that's being wasted. So getting the quantity piece, so you're listening to your body, you're eating in the right amount of food for you, you're not overeating, is another huge way to be ethical about your consumption and to contribute to the environment in a positive way. So I really think if you're overeating and it all comes from plants, that's still resources that are going to you that aren't being able to be used by other people. So I think that's actually addressing overeating is way more of an opportunity than looking at eating all plants. And seeing overeating, the one thing I work with my clients is just telling them this thought, seeing overeating is actually a waste of food. So every time I overeat, I'm wasting food. And not to shame myself and guilt myself, but just from that's the practicality of it. And just that gives us an extra incentive to not overeat because we don't want to be wasteful. We don't want to be taking more than our share of the resources. Another tip I have for you in terms of being an ethical omnivore is where possible, buying in bulk, and that just makes it more sustainable. So having a freezer. So when I buy my minced meat, my ground meat, I actually buy 10 kilos at a time from my farmer because that makes it more economical, and then I store it in the freezer and just use it. So that can help. Probably it's not so much an ethics thing, but it definitely helps with the financial side of it as well. So yeah, so that's it for today. Just an episode to get you thinking about, are you happy if you're happy being an omnivore, amazing. If you're happy being completely plant-based person, amazing. However, you know, if you're in that middle area, just something to consider, like just there is more to the story than just plants are good, meat is bad. And, you know, just I think at the end of the day, doing your own experiments and just seeing how different ways of eating make you feel and how they fit into your life is really the best approach. So hope you have a fantastic week. And if you're enjoying joyful eating, don't forget to tell your friends. The more people we have, like bringing more joy and fun and abundance into our relationships with food, getting rid of like that, all that suffering and pain that people have with food, better place the world will be. Okay, have a beautiful week and I will catch you next week. Bye. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.